Welcome back, man. No Cap Sports, episode number 47. Big AK-47 vibes. You know, shout out Andre Kirilenko, man. So, Josh, go and get us started with that fight, man.
Accountability. But we're gonna play a game today, Durham. Probably gonna play guess that because it's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the music industry so far. So I know Nick, you have some. I'm gonna start with you because you have some eccentric music taste. What's one artist that you haven't heard from in a long time that you're waiting to drop?
One artist who I haven't heard from in a minute that I gotta hear from, but I need Young Thug to check in again, bro. He ain't dropped nothing since what, So Much Fun, dropped bro. That was Cleveland. Like, that's low key, bro.
I know.
Like I'm saying, bro, I need some thugs. You know, I'm a thug guy, so waiting on that Slime Language 2, bro. Apparently, they got a new track on there, bro. That's gonna go crazy, so.
Okay, what about you, Vance? Like, who
Artist
you been waiting on to drop?
Man, he dropped something else about a few weeks ago, but it wasn't an album, but I'm going to go with the Migos, bro, Quavo.
Taking it back from Sweden.
Let me get that Bentley back.
For sure. Like, two good answers by my co-hosts. So, I'm going to tell you who's actually about to drop. Who has a forthcoming album in July? Prince. Definitely probably didn't think that that was happening. I just saw the way Nick reacted. I knew you were going to do something funny. But yeah, this is the first. I mean, Prince has a lot of unreleased music due to the like a lot of the conflict of what he was signed with during. He wasn't independent, obviously, during his tenure as a musical great. But yeah, this is just one album. They said he has over like 6 or 7 albums of just music that wasn't released before he died. So let me ask you something. Are you excited for any of this to be happening?
I'm kind of excited, bro, because I remember Prince went on the whole I gotta own everything wave, so I know he was cooking up some bangers, you know, in his house in Minnesota, wherever it was. I'm pretty excited for it, bro. That's my mama's favorite artist, bro. Probably gonna pour a glass of wine and listen to it with her, bro.
Yeah, I like it.
What
was you gonna say, Vince? Hey, I'm definitely gonna give it a listen. I can't even lie to you, bro. You got to, at the very least.
As a matter of fact, I heard Josh, I heard you were going to get a perm when it dropped.
I could have if I hadn't cut off my hair first. Raspberry beret, bro. I'm good. There was an argument to be made while they were alive. Prince and Michael Jackson is, you know, greatest musician of all time. And I guess it's not really as far as a gap as people would like to make it seem. But let me ask y'all something. Let me hear a song, a collab that could never actually happen that y'all would want to hear. So I get some two artists that, you know, weren't in the same era, weren't even alive together, but just a song that you could never happen that you would want to hear.
Ooh, I got you, bro. I'm going to go with James Brown and DMX, bro. Yelling on the track together. Bro. Hey, they'll go kind of stupid.
Hey, I like it.
You want me to keep it a stack, bro? I was going to say DMX too, bro. But I was going to say DMX and Pop Smoke, bro. That's so New York, bro. There would have been so many Tims in that stadium, bro.
Facts, bro.
Okay, I like it. I think I had an interesting combo. I think I'm going to go with Juice WRLD, because Juice WRLD, I don't picture a lot of artists, you know, sounding like that, especially coming from Chicago. So I would want to hear him with somebody like Tupac. You know, sing song versus somebody that's really gonna rap, put some real lyrics into. Either Tupac wasn't the best lyricist, but just the stylistic differences and how they created different music. But and it's now nah, Tupac was definitely bigger than Juice WRLD, but you know their depths and the legacy they left, they were just so wide.
Yeah, but I mean Tupac not even the best rapper out of California, but we ain't gotta speak on it.
Hey, that's
shout out Blueface.
Yeah, clear air like a fart like that, bro. So y'all listen to music semi-regularly. If y'all just had to guess off the top of y'all head, what would be your guess for the Billboard top song on the charts right now? It's not a trick question, I promise you.
But in all honesty, I haven't listened to any new music in a minute. Let me see.
I don't want to bring him up, bro, but I would probably guess was I don't know, why can I think of his name? I would guess Old Town Road dude, Little Nas X. That's who I would guess.
What about you, Nick?
Honestly, I'm not saying I listened to him, first of all. I'm just saying that's what I would guess.
I guess if I had to guess, I'm going to guess something off Raw Wave album. I don't really know. Like, in all honesty. Well, I don't know. Didn't Justin Bieber drop a song called Peaches, where I keep seeing that, so maybe that.
Hey, they're doing a bop, bro. I can't lie to you.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was on Twitter, bro. It was a live video of him on Twitter performing it.
Nah, I don't
know. It went kind of hard. I can't lie to you. I'm going to send it to y'all.
No, I don't need it, bro. I don't need it. I guess I must have missed that Justin Bieber notification. But if y'all had a guess, what would be the top streaming album on Billboard right now?
Oh, I'm going to guess the only album I can really think of is Raw Wave that came out recently. So
Raw Wave for single and album. It would make sense, actually. What about you? I say Raw. You do like Raw Wave a little bit. Vance.
Stop it. Stop it. Let's not get too disrespectful, but I'm a I really do not know. I mean, I'm sure it's not rap. I'm sure Taylor Swift got something out, but Rod Wave, the only thing I could or Pooh Shiesty, maybe.
Yeah, he could still be up.
I love the guesses. Actually, y'all kind of spoiled the surprise, but the number one song right now is actually Montero with Lil Nas X. So I guess you get us some brownie points or whatever you want, Vance. And the number one album, one of y'all said it for the single, but not for the album, was Justin Bieber. So I guess he released the whole album. You can probably tell us more about that, Vance.
I just knew about the song. You know, it's for a playlist, bro.
For what event? Never mind. We ain't gonna speak on it. What do y'all think that says about the music industry at this point, right now?
It says that the music industry is very clout-driven, bro. Very media-based, bro. If your name in the media getting talked about, bro, your music gonna get streamed. We see it with TikTok influence, and we see it with, you know, just influence on, you know, other social media platforms and things like that. So you got clout on the media, you got clout in music and streams. So this past week, ESPN published a top 10 under 25 list, which is based on future potential of all of these players in the NBA. Of course, there were some mixed reactions to this list, from NBA players to employees of ESPN themselves. Like, all you got to do is look at Stephen A. Smith's rant on a First Take, and you'll see how mad he was at this list.
Love LaMelo Ball. But see, this is stuff like this that diminishes the credibility of ESPN, okay? This is the list. This is our list, right? Am I correct about this? I believe it's our list. Yes, it is. Let me tell you something right now.
Yes, ESPN.com.
What the hell? I mean, ESPN needs to drug test anybody that has something to do with this list. Makes no sense. Devin Booker is not LaMelo Ball before Devin Booker? Really? LaMelo Ball before Donovan Mitchell? Really? LaMelo Ball before Jason Tatum? Really? I mean, what the hell is going on? Okay? I believe that ESPN should call security right now and go to whoever put this list together on ESPN.com. Summon all, line them up. Line them up and test every one of them. Every one of them. Somebody's out of it. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Now I want to talk to you guys. What were y'all's initial reactions to this list? Who is overranked? Who is underranked? Just what did y'all think about this list?
The first thing that jumped off to me was, not to say that it was necessarily overranked, but putting Luka over Zion, I think with the parameters that they put on it, because I feel like Luka Doncic is definitely a better player than Zion Williamson is right now, but athletic limitations and, you know, his game, basically the athletic limitations is the only thing, and the dynamic and the versatility that Zion brings. It's just, you know, it's comparing hairs, but just a little bit more than Luka. And especially with the way he's been shooting the ball, I thought that he would really be a home run pick for, you know, first on this list. But I'm not definitely going to be mad at Luka. I just think that, you know, shot creation, it's just, that really shows me how important shot creation is, because Zion is a good shot creator now already. But, I mean, Luka's doing it at an all-time level, even though he's not as efficient from three. But I still thought that I personally would have put Zion as my first, and it would have been a runaway.
Well, I think one of my just initial reactions to this list is there's no consistency for how they graded these players, in my opinion. So, first of all, I want to start out by saying I'm a broke college student. I can't afford ESPN Plus, so I can see the whole list and ESPN's reasonings behind it. But just looking at the list at face value.
I got to stop this, bro. I got you. Why you didn't tell me, bro? I got this log in, bro. Why have you been struggling like this and you haven't told me? I know, you know, I got the plug.
Man, don't
plug
me in.
All right,
America, bro.
Don't me. I'm plugged in, bro. You slacky. I can't lie to you.
I'm saying, I think Vans ain't never been scared to ask me for nothing. This man been struggling. I got a hole. That's all right. Keep going. That should hurt my soul. I thought we was friends. You can't be out there in the wind like that, bro. It's only $5.99. We could have split it.
My bad, big bro. My bad. But it just to me, it seems like it's no consistency on this list, bro. You got guys like LaMelo at number three, but you don't include guys like Anthony Edwards and other young guys, you know, rookies and sophomores who have showed a lot of promise in their first 2 years in the league in the top 10 of that list. Instead, you got a lot of guys. You look at De'Aaron Fox, 23, Devin Booker, 24, Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, 24. You got a lot of older guys on that list. So I just think this list lacks consistency in terms of identifying players and putting them on the list. And I think some players on this list are severely overrated.
I completely agree with everything Nick just said, but it's just crazy because looking at this list, some of these guys I wouldn't even put in the top 10. Like, literally, my top 10, half of the people are not. You want to get names? You want name drops that's not in my top 10? De'Aaron Fox is not a top 10 under 25 player, bro.
Facts. I'm stamping that one.
Bam Adebayo, bro. Very amazing player, bro, but the way the NBA is going, bro, not top 10, under 25. In terms of it, when you think about potential, this is potential. We're talking potential. Right now, he's a top player under 25. But we're talking potential. It's some guys that's 11 through 25 on that list, bro. They should be top 10. When we talk potential, they have a greater potential than Bam Adebayo. He's a great player, amazing player. But he's a suit. He can't be the first option on the NBA Finals team, period, point blank. And I think there's some other guys. There's 10 guys that can possibly do that or have a better chance at doing it. That's why he's not in my top 10. So that's a name drop. That's just two for you right there.
I mean, I guess if y'all want a name drop, I'll name drop, bro. Donovan Mitchell, bro. Everybody got hype over Donovan Mitchell because of his bubble performance, bro.
Stop it.
Jamal Murray, they raised his stock. Oh. Yes, he's playing.
He did it.
He's playing with the Jazz right now. Best team in the West, best team in the NBA right now, best record. But I don't think, just looking at Donovan Mitchell, how much higher can he go? We all know the Jazz going to get to the playoffs. They're not going to the finals because he's not that kind of a player. Donovan Mitchell.
What?
Donovan Mitchell is a great
Stop.
Player.
Stop. A- Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray. Hey, they literally –
Neither one of them on my
They team. Literally put – I don't care, bro. They literally put up civil rights numbers, bro. When's the last time somebody dropped 40 in a playoff series like that? In seven games. All the people that's done it is Jordan, LeBron, Kyrie. He did not – it was not 40. Stop it. It might have been 35.
The finals when he put LeBron on his back came back down.
Bro, he didn't average 40 in that series.
Well, facts.
That's cap. Facts. 40 plus points. And you're not even 25 yet? Civil rights numbers. Last people that was dropping 40-plus points in the playoff series, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell. They were playing for civil rights. The Breonna Taylors, Jamal Murray had them on, bro. You saw them.
Okay. That's crazy. You just really made me go hard for Donovan Mitchell. And I didn't even have nothing planned. But it's all right, bro. I'm gonna speak when it's my turn. This is crazy.
As a matter of fact, bro, let's get right into it, bro. We getting heated already. So let's hear it, bro. I want to hear everybody's top 10 under 25 list right now, bro.
Number 10, I'll start off with Bam Adebayo. I don't completely disagree with you that – I mean, he's 10 for a reason for me. Brings a lot of defensive versatility. Didn't see the ball-handling development that he had. And Yeah, I think that he's like kind of like this. Actually, I said a really good player right now, but I just don't want to see what the next step is gonna be for him. Like, I don't think he's gonna be off the bounce guy. He's gonna be a guy that's gonna, you know, become 15 a Drummond type rebounder. So, yeah. Number nine, Mr. Goggles Man, number 13, Big Ja Morant, averaging 19, 20 points a game. Immediately came in and became a leader for the Grizzlies. This year, the only thing that's been – well, not the only thing that's been troubling, but the two biggest things that's been troubling. Shooting 22% outside of 15 feet, which doesn't bode well for you when you're 6'1". And he has regressed defensively. I don't have any statistics to back it up, but just looking at him night to night. I watch a lot of Grizzlies. You can see that he's not going to be able to be a stellar defender anyway. I don't think he's going to be ever bad as Trae Young, but he's just not going to be able to consistently bother guys on that end. So last year, the same thing I kind of feel with Zion, actually, with the defense and effort is going down, you know, as their offensive responsibilities rise. So I think, you know, they're injured right now. They're missing Winslow and Jaren, but I don't know, is Ja not a good defender or is he not trying hard? So that'll be the biggest thing for him, because the rest of the guys on my list, are going to be plus defenders, even with Zion, hopefully, eventually. Number eight, Jaylen Brown. First-time All-Star this year, averaging almost 24 points a game. I think on another team, any other team, actually, probably, he would probably be any other team besides the Celtics, he would be the guy. He just happens to have the guy next to him. We worked on his efficiency. That was the biggest thing. He came in with a reputation as a gunner, and now he's averaging 24-5. It's almost a 50-49 guy. So it'll be interesting to see what Danny Ainge does with him and Tatum, but he has two top-end guys right now. Number seven, Lee Book. Number 70, Mr. 70-point man. A lot of people asked the biggest thing on him this season was, could he put up the stats he'd been putting up on a winning team? A lot of people say Chris Paul is the biggest reason for that. I won't disagree, but I will say that Devin Booker has been doing Devin Booker things. And he's evolved a lot. You know, he came in as somebody that looked like a three-point specialist. But especially this year, I know he's still shooting almost 40%, over 40% for three, but he's attacking the rim. And I think that's throwing a lot of people off. And I think that Joe Johnson, actually, when they played the last game of the road trip, they just lost somebody. They lost their seven-game win streak. But Joe Johnson, the way that he can operate in the mid-post, in the mid-range, it's just smooth like a baby booty. Six, Ben Simmons. My top five I had reserved for guys that I feel are, you know, franchise pillars. And Ben Simmons falls right outside of that list for me. Hypothetically, he's the best basketball player in the league. 6'7" at this point, I guess. Literally everything – he's able to do everything on the basketball court except shoot. But he ebbs and flows. Intensity, he's one of the best defenders in the league. Offensively, it's just too hard to have to carve out a niche and find a spot for him. And I think that his not only lack of ability to shoot, but him being afraid to shoot will forever hold him back. I mean, even Giannis is taking over two a game. So, I don't see him improving on that much. Like I see guys like Lonzo Ball, they don't develop that aggression offensively. So I think that'll probably take him off. Five, I got Donovan Mitchell. I know that a lot of people are saying they're not going to be able to win the West. He's not going to be able to go blow for blow with guys like KD and LeBron. I respectfully disagree. This is a guy that came in as a rookie, broke Michael Jordan's record, came in second year, gave Utah a deep playoff run. So I know you said that he artificially inflated his stock in the bubble, but we have prior evidence in his rookie season to show that he's the real deal. So do I think that he'll be able to – can he take a series over by himself? He did it in the bubble. So can he do it again? He's done it in the bubble. We'll say what we say about that. But if I need Donovan Mitchell to go back and forth with anybody in the league, I and trust him to do that. And I think that's what you need from your superstar. Somebody to break even with LeBron, break even with a Kevin Durant, break even with a James Harden, which is crazy. They're basically on the same team now. Number four, Jason Tatum. Honestly, looks like evolutionary Tracy McGrady to me. Smoothest scorer that we've seen in a long time. Defense, two-way wing, one arguably needs to be on all defensive team this year. And yeah, this is really a better version of Brown, honestly. So He came in with playoff. He had playoff success as a rookie as well, just like Donovan Mitchell. He's shown the ability to do it when it mattered. So I just think the thing for him would be much like Donovan Mitchell going blow for blow with a LeBron, with a KD in the playoffs, and being able to shoot, do it consistently, and win. I don't know if he'll be able to do that with Boston, just because, like I said, the fit before is a little iffy. I don't know if he has to be a guy that needs his own team. But, yeah. Number three, I got LaMelo. This may seem high for y'all, especially the way y'all gave me y'all list before. Only 19, he showed everything. Then I don't really see anything on a basketball court that he can do, pass, defend. The next thing for him, the thing that really is the only thing holding him back on this list, honestly, is the proven performance in the playoffs. And I mean, he obviously can't get that because he's a rookie. But I mean, do y'all have any doubt that he can do it? He hasn't been Charlotte's number one option this far. You got Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, guys that can handle, you know, to get a scoring low for him. So it'll be interesting to see if he can do it in a Ja Morant or Trae Young type of way where he's going to be the designated offensive guy every night. But that's the only thing. I don't think there's nothing on the court that he can't do. I will put him up there in the Zion Anthony Davis draft prospect type of guy. And, I think – he's a future MVP, honestly. If he can stay healthy, 6'7", the way he handles the ball, the way he maneuvers on the court, the creation and the way the league is headed, that he's an MVP candidate. The only way he doesn't get one is two guys that have headed him stay healthy and have LeBron type longevity. But number two, I got Luka Doncic. We don't got to really talk about it. You know, elite Hall of Fame level shot creation. Already gained Paul George in the playoffs, although I guess it's not really an accomplishment anymore. Came in doing, you know, LeBron type things as a rookie, and he's only continued to ascend since then. So only Luka's 22 now. He's legitimately the age of a college junior. I'm 21, so I mean he has so much time left. A lot of people I feel like talk about him in the way they used to talk about Tatum being 19. So I mean honestly, the only thing that'll stop Luka is injuries, or if he just wants to go back playing in national or something. But he's already shown the ability to be unstoppable in the regular season and the postseason. The only thing that he's legitimately missing is a championship, an MVP. That's the only thing. The same thing with this next guy, you know, big Zion Williamson. Legitimately an entity that we've never seen in the game of basketball before. I know we had Charles Barkley. We had, you know, not really. Charles Barkley was the closest comparison that we had. Somebody of that height and stature, that power, that speed, that physical combination. I would love to see him rush the passer, honestly, or kick set even. But that ferociousness that he brings to the passing court, that efficiency that he has, nobody has shot like that before. He just scored, what is this? I saw ESPN stats, his 8th, 30th point game without having a field goal outside of the paint. And that's crazy to me because all we know how, you know, space and pace and space, how the league is evolving. And not only does he, it's not that he's not able to shoot. He's proven the ability to shoot. He's not able to create. But it's just, I think, it's, first of all, I think it's a little too heavy right now. And he just, I think that the game is still, he's still in his second year. So he has to read the game, learn the game at an NBA level. But the thing that he's doing right now, while he still appears to be out of sync, is ridiculous. So Zion at 24, 25, 26, when he really puts it all together and it's what it will be his prime, legitimately something I don't think the league will be prepared for.
All right. Your list is nice, Josh. But for me, at number 10, I'm going to go with LaMelo Ball, you know, the big ball brother, bro. The best ball brother, Triple B's. That's what he is. And number 10, so basically he's 19 years old. Finally got the keys halfway through the season, bro. He's been hooping. I like what I see. Everybody sees the potential that he had, and he's shown it on the court. Number 9, Ja Morant. He has the Grizzlies in the playoff race right now, bro. I mean, the team is hooping a lot better than a lot of so-called analysts said they was going to do. And he's actually in the front half of the 7 through 10 and in the West playoff race. Then we're going to go number 7, Donovan Mitchell, bro. Like I said, in the bubble, and he's still doing it now outside of the bubble. Number 6, Jamal Murray, bro. You know, the way he's been hooping, I guess it's just the bubble, bro. Maybe it's the bubble, you know. I don't know. Who knows? It's the bubble for Murray and Mitchell, but right now I got them at 7 and 6. Number 5, Jason Tatum, bro. reason I have him right above Murray and Mitchell, bro, because he did something that neither one of the other two could do. Send LeBron to 7 games, bro. And I've never seen that. So, from a rookie at least, or young players, young cats, usually it's older guys that's already established that can finally beat LeBron. But Jason Tatum did it, and he took him to 7 games. He was only 19. Number four, I'm going to go with a bucket getter, the best bucket getter in the under 25, Devin Booker, bro. You know, shout out to Mississippi. He's a Mississippi boy. If y'all might not know that, but he is. Number three, I'm going to go with the big obese, Zion Williamson, bro. The scariest first step in the NBA, bro. This is probably – he probably has the scariest first steps really since Shaq. LeBron has been the best one for the past 20 years, literally. But before LeBron, it was Shaq, and now I think Zion Williamson. Don't nobody want to step in front of that big body. And he's only 20, not 21, not 22. He's only 20, bro. It's only going to get better. So that scary first step, I got him at number three. All right, number two, I got Luka Doncic. Mr. Step Back, Mr. Make You Look Silly, bro. You know, if he didn't get better right now from what he is currently, I think he'll still be a top three player from this under 25 list. If he didn't improve in any of his game, that's how I feel about Luka. But the guy there's number one under 25 that has the most potential out of anybody that's in the NBA right now. Y'all ready?
Talk to him.
Anthony Edwards, bro. The dude doesn't even like basketball, and he's already the leader of the Timberwolves. I like the way he carries himself, bro. He said he watched LeBron play. He said he saw how LeBron led his team, and he was inspired by that. And since he's been doing that, bro, rookie of the year. Even if LaMelo was playing, Anthony Edwards is the rookie of the year. The way he's been playing, bro, he's a hooper, he's a baller, and I think he could be the number one option on the NBA Finals team.
Gotta get out of Minnesota. That's an interesting take, bro. I'm gonna let
strong,
you
know this, strong take, brother. Strong.
Yeah, that's how I feel, bro. I think he got up next, but the true guy is number one. He's not even in the NBA yet. That's Chet Holmgreen. We don't got to talk about it yet.
So, I guess you know you always say the best for last, but I'm gonna give y'all a little warning before I give y'all my list. If you're looking for Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox or Ben Simmons, bro, they're not on this list, bro. So I'm going to get started with my list right now. Number 10, I got Brandon Ingram, bro. Made the All-Star game for the first time this season, and there's nowhere else for him to go but up, bro. We've seen him continue to develop since coming into the league as a scrawny rookie out of Duke. And you look at him now in New Orleans, having 23 points per game, 60% true shooting, bro. He's going to be a perennial All-Star, potential All-NBA guy if he keeps going on this trajectory that he's on right now as the mainstay in New Orleans. So number nine, I got Trae Young. I think he's the unquestioned leader of that Hawks team. He's the guy that makes everything go. He's having a career year this year, and I think those numbers are numbers that he can improve on and keep going with. He cut his turnovers down by 0.4. He increased his three-point shooting percentage by 2 percentage points, which is impressive. He also gets to the line around 8 times a game, and that's just, you know, a true scorer who can dominate the game, take over, and he's a pure playmaker too from that point guard position. That's why he gets the number 9 slot for me. And number 8, coming right behind him, John Morant. The reason I put John Morant ahead of Trae Young is defense and just the ability to affect the game on all levels, whether it be defense, playmaking, scoring. Even though his shooting is down, we're looking at over the last 23 games, he's shooting 26.3% from three. That's not a big deal to me because I feel like shooting is something that once he improves, his full potential will be realized and he'll be that star player. But this is a guy that shoulders the load on both ends, especially offense right now with Jaren Jackson being out. And I think that affects his defense personally because you have to shoulder the load on offense. Then you have to come back down the court and guard the opposing team's point guard. And playing in the Western Conference, we know how good those point guards are in the West. So I think I don't look too much into his – because we saw how good it was his rookie season, especially with that block on Kyrie. And so number 7, a guy that y'all didn't put on y'all's list for some reason, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, bro. This is one of the best young players in the game, and you just can't deny it anymore, bro. The guy's averaging 23 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, bro. But not only is he doing that, he's doing it efficiently, shooting 50% from the field, 41% from three, 80% from the free throw line, bro. It doesn't get any better than that. Of course, he doesn't do it in the flashy way. He's got the stop-and-start game that allows him to get his shot whenever he wants it, bro. He's the number one option for OKC, and he's delivering in that facet, bro. And I think when Shai is on a team with more media attention, more talent, you will really see how good Shai is, and that will allow him to develop even more. Now, number six, looking at Jaylen Brown, that's a guy that Josh took and that I really like. He came into the league as a 3-and-D player. Now he's a first-time All-Star, and just like Brandon Ingram, his trajectory is pointing upwards towards being, you know, one of the, you know, a perennial All-Star, one of the best players in the NBA out of this under-25 class. Working with Jason Tatum isn't a problem because he's still a 24-point-per-game guy, and he's shooting 39.7% from three. Impressive numbers for a guy who came into the league just like, you know, just like the rest of these guys, as with a small role, and now it's expanded as he's had added off the dribble game to his game, plus being an elite wing defender. So number five, Bam Adebayo. Yet again, I don't know why y'all didn't include him on your list. This is one of the best young players in the game, and he still has room to improve. I know y'all said, I know, oh, you did, my bad, bro. No disrespect. But this is one of the best young players in the game, and he still has room to improve, which is something y'all didn't talk about. He still hasn't added that three-point shot to his game. I think once he adds that three-point shot to his game, he's going to be pretty unstoppable, bro, because he's already one of the most versatile bigs in the game. If you look on offense, he can handle the ball. Miami used him as a point guard during the summer league because he's that good of a ball handler, bro. He can handle the ball, score from the post up, score face up, and he can score off the dribble, whether it be attacking the basket or pulling up from the midi, bro. This is a versatile big who can do it all. And defensively, he's perfect for the modern NBA, bro. He can bang with bigs in the post, and he can handle his own out on switches on that island with guards, bro. So there's no doubt that I think if Bam adds that three-pointer to his game will increase exponentially. And now you got to bring bigs out of the paint to guard him. That's going to do nothing but increase his points and everything like that. Number four is Zion Williamson, bro. Where else can he go, bro? He's averaging 26.8 points. Cool, bro. Bro, listen to me. He's number four on this list, bro, because y'all talk about he can shoot. Okay, cool. He's shooting, what, 36% on three? That's a fake number. He's only shot 25 threes all year. That's a fake number, bro. It doesn't matter. And so my thing with Zion is, bro, he brought the bully ball back. He's dominating the game. But I feel like teams just need a year or two to adjust, and they're going to find a way to stop Zion. But not stop what? Maybe not stop him, but limit his effectiveness, bro. You can look like that all you want. Think about when Giannis was unstoppable and the Raptors employed the wall to get him up out of there. I think something similar can end up happening to Zion, but we'll have to see. But I think his potential is capped because he has little skill instead of just being a bully. So, at number three.
Giannis was doing this at, what, 26, 27 at the years in the league? Zion's doing this at 20, bro. But, hey, it's yours. I mean, I cut it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, had a little bit of my spirit real quick.
Number three, Devin Booker. Much doesn't have to be said. One of the best scorers in the league, one of the best shooting guards in the league. And now he's doing it on a winning team, so you can't knock him no more. Number two, I got Jason Tatum. Everybody's talked about it already, man. He took LeBron to a seven-game series in the Eastern Conference Finals his rookie year, dunked on LeBron in that series, and ever since then, he's going nowhere but up. He recently turned 23, and he's already a two-time All-Star, and he was named to a third-team All-NBA last season. And so I put him ahead of Booker because of just he provides more versatility than Booker, looking at offensively and defensively, because Jason Tatum is the primary weapon in that Celtics offense. He facilitates everything, sets the table for everything. And he provides more of a three-level scoring threat than Devin Booker, in my opinion. And in addition to that, Devin Booker, I think, also functions best when he has a competent point guard with him, when Jason Tatum can function his best with whoever is running the point. And so last, number one on my list, Luka Doncic. Much doesn't have to be said. This is a guy who's almost averaging a triple-double, looking at 28, 8, and 8. And he's seen improvement in his field goal and three-point percentage since last year. He's already a Rookie of the Year, two-time All-Star, and first-team All-NBA. And he still has room to grow, talking about shot selection and boosting his shooting numbers. This is a guy that has clear MVP potential, and I think he could really help Dallas make a push to the finals, bro. He's just that kind of generational talent.
I give us all pretty good grades between a B minus and an A plus.
I got the A plus.
No, bro. No.
If I ranked on this, bro, I'm first. I'm going to give Josh second. I'm going to give you third, Nick. I can't even lie to you, bro. Third? You want to know why you get third, bro?
That's why you get third, bro?
It's not even that, bro. You said Bam Adebayo. You said Bam Adebayo, if he got a three-point shot, bro, that's how he improved. He would become Jaren Jackson Jr. if he did that.
No, bro.
He's a three-point shot away from being Jaren Jackson Jr., bro.
No, bro. He's way better than Jaren Jackson Jr., bro.
No, he's not. Jaren Jackson Jr. got a higher ceiling. It sounds biased, bro, but he does have a higher ceiling.
I mean,
he's a footer, bro.
It's just the thing.
He's not gonna stay on the floor as much as Bam will.
Exactly. Yes, it was in the bubble, but we also saw how important Bam was to that Miami team.
We saw Triple J was to the Memphis Grizzlies. They didn't win another game in the bubble. Yeah. They didn't win another game in the bubble. He got hurt. Y'all saw it. They was hooping when he was healthy.
Until he does it, we have to. Bam has already done it. Ooh. We're just speculating on whether or not Jaren can do it. Bam has already done it in a finals.
Jaren isn't 20. Is he even 21, bro? He got to be 21. He might be 21.
Yeah. But I don't know, bro. My biggest problem with all y'all's list, bro, y'all didn't include Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
You're right, bro. I mean, he's a bucket. I can't lie to you, bro. You're right. He does have a high ceiling. Smooth guy.
He totally just don't have that Mike Conley syndrome. That's all my man worried about. He's a good guard in the league for the great guards.
Yeah, he needs to go to like the Knicks, bro. He'll push them to the next level. Like him.
Yeah. He's just stuck on a team in a rebuild right now, bro. That's the only problem with Shai, man. Free Shai.
They not out of the playoff race either. They can still make the 10 seed. They not that far out. They like 4.5. It's 20 games left, but I mean, crazy things have happened.
Fact. So, but I think we can all agree that all of our lists are better than ESPN's list.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm putting it on Twitter, bro. I'm going to post all of our lists, and I'm going to make a poll. Ask who had the best list. Top 10.
So now we're going to take a look at the NBA playoff race right now. So, you know, this year with everything being, you know, different, seeds 7 through 10 will play a playoff game. There are around 20 games left for each team in the association. We're going to take a look at these teams, and we're going to see which teams are going to be in the play-in games in each conference. So starting with the West right now, Portland is in 6th, and they have a half-game advantage over Dallas, 4-game advantage over Memphis, a 5-game advantage over San Antonio, a 6-game advantage over Golden State, and a 7-game advantage over New Orleans. So looking at the Western playoff picture right now, I want to start out by asking a question. The Lakers are currently the 5 seed in the West with a 2-game advantage on the Blazers. Do you see them falling anymore with AD and LeBron out for at least one more week?
I think they got enough auxiliary pieces to keep them afloat for another week. Ben McLemore would drop 20 against the Knicks. They just beat the Knicks. I don't know who they'll be playing. They're definitely not built for a long sustained period. But they got Schroeder, they got Montrez, and then Trez talks like they're not even trying to stay afloat. They're just trying to be. They're playing ball, and whoever is out there is gonna play. So I definitely respect their mentality. And they just beat the team that they is expected to meet in the finals preview. So. I mean, they should be
sure. Yeah, bro. The Lakers going to be fine. They're going to be all right. AD going to be back in less than 2 weeks. LeBron going to be back by the end of the month, bro. We're going to be okay. No worries.
So, with that in consideration, how do you guys see 7 through 10 playing out in the West?
I think Dallas, they're comfortable enough. You know, they're going to stick in that 7th spot. I don't think they're going to catch Portland. Portland's finally healthy. They got McCollum back. So I'm going to have Dallas stuck right there. And after that, 8 through 10 is where it gets tricky. The Grizzlies just went on a 3-game win streak. You know, right now at the 8th spot, they got a little bit of separation from the Spurs and the Pels. But in the 9th, there's 2 spots left for 3 teams, with 4 teams. I think the Grizzlies, I think they're clear. They're getting healthy. Jaren Jackson's going to be back. So I think they're going to be there in the 8th spot. So now you got the Spurs, the Pels, and the Warriors. Ooh, the Warriors, they just lost James Wiseman. He just tore his meniscus, bro. I don't know. The Warriors need talent they need, bro. And Wiseman is probably the third most talented person out of the team. And in second, so in 10th place, I'm going to go with the Pelicans, bro. I think they're finally starting to find their groove, especially Zion Williamson. In the past couple of games he's played, he's dropped 39 points, 35 points, 31 points. 35 points, 23 points, 35 points, and 36 points, bro. That's pretty impressive. In the 9th spot, I'm going to have to give it to the Spurs, bro. You got to trust Popovich. When in doubt, just trust Popovich. So I'm going to go Pels 10, Spurs 9, Grizz 8, and then the Mavericks 7.
I agree with your list, but I kind of disagree a little bit. I feel like Dallas will end up superseding Portland. for that seven seed. Just looking at it, both Portland and San Antonio are top three in remaining strength of schedule. So with that into consideration, I said Portland would end up falling into the seven with Memphis at eight, Golden State at nine, and I put San Antonio at 10 just because of that strength of schedule, and I feel like Stephen Curry is going to do all he can to get into that playoff game, play-in game. Looking at the current East standings, you have Atlanta, number four in the East, with a half-game advantage on Miami, a full-game advantage on Charlotte, a full-game advantage on Boston, a two-game advantage on the Knicks, a three-game advantage on Indiana, and a six-game advantage on Chicago. So looking in the East, man, this is a real tight playoff race from 4 to 10. But here, let's focus on who's going to end up being in those playoff games. So tell me, who are y'all's playoff locks, like safe from the play-in? What four teams you guys think will be in that play-in game from the end of the year?
So in the East, the people I think that are locks to make it, bro, I'm going to say Boston and Miami. I think the talent is too overwhelming for them not to make it. I think they're finally going to break free in these last 20 games and separate themselves as bona fide playoff teams. Ooh, I'm going to go ahead and throw Charlotte in there also, bro. I just like what I see from them. They got talent galore, bro, just young talent, bro. If it was a talent under 30, bro, a lot of people on the Charlotte Hornets would be on there. But I think those three are the bona fide playoff teams.
For me, looking at the East, I ended up rocking with Boston, Atlanta, and Miami as my playoff locks. Looking at Charlotte, I was a little concerned because they're facing a number of significant injuries down the stretch. You look at it, they're without LaMelo Ball for the rest of the year. Gordon Hayward is out for 4 weeks, and P.J. Washington is kind of like week to week with an ankle injury. So, you know, those injuries combined with the fact that they, you know, have an average remaining strength of schedule, remaining kind of lets me think that they're going to slide a little bit. But I think they'll still be in the play-in game. So,
yeah, I copied your list down, Pat. Well, no, because I got Charlotte dropping out as well, kind of for the same reasons as you. Once they LaMelo, and I think that Terry Rozier won't be able to shoot as well as he was in the beginning of the season, this first half of the season. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Atlanta, Miami, and Boston. Tyler Herro hasn't been shooting as well. I mean, I officially think that Atlanta will probably be the sixth just because I haven't looked at their strength of schedule. But they've been shooting the ball really well. They, at least when they was on national TV versus Golden State. And I just don't believe in Trae Young and John Collins like that. But I think Herro will have an uptick in play. He's going to shoot what, low 30s. Jimmy Butler, and when I get into conference rankings, I still think about who is the better team. So that's the right way to analyze it. But yeah, Charlotte will drop. I think that New York will probably drop out. I like what Julius Randle and RJ Barrett been doing, but I just don't see them. I just stated. I think they've both been playing a little bit over their heads this first half. So I just think that'll be dropped. So that's my East locks.
So I don't even do it based on strength of schedule. To me, I feel like, especially in the NBA, it's on a night-to-night basis, anybody can beat anybody. So with that being said, it's just like the Celtics, they literally can beat anybody in the league on any given night.
Yeah, that's facts. And right now the Celtics are on a hot streak. They're 7-3 over their last 10. You look at Sunday night, they played the Nuggets, went on a 40-8 run.
Hey!
And Jason Tatum has been on fire, bro. So I think the Celtics are definitely going in the right direction. And they're a lot.
50 ball.
So continuing to talk about the East, what teams do you guys see being in the play-in game from the end of the season?
The first thing I want to say is, for the first time, at least for this play-in tournament, I'm more excited about the lower half of the East and the West. You got Chicago, you got Vucevic and Levine, Indiana, they've already been to the playoffs, especially at the last night. New York is resurged. Boston is way too low, really. Miami's still at five. So, I mean, I know the title has been sitting for a little bit, but legitimately going through researching it before, I mean, I like Portland, but they kind of plateaued to me. Dallas, I mean, we got to see what KP's going to look like. Luka is that guy, but nobody's going to be able to do it in the playoffs by themselves, and he doesn't have a reliable second right now. Memphis, I mean, objective, Ja Morant and friends. I mean, Ja Morant hasn't even been good as he had last year. So that was, you know, my first eval that for the first time in a long time, I think the Eastern Conference 1-8 might be a little tougher than the Western Conference.
E7-10, bro. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Hawks, bro. I did it based off talent. 7 through 10. And since they're all so close together in the rankings, bro, I think it's going to play out as the most talented getting the higher seeds. But at number 7, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Hawks, bro. I think they're going to get beat out by the Miami Heat for that spot and the Boston Celtics. Number 8, I'm going to go with the New York Knickerbockers, bro. You know, they're pretty good. I like what I see from them. Julius Randle, top 3 MVP candidate. Number 9, Indiana Pacers, bro. Ooh, they get it. Make them squirt LeVert back, bro. I like what I see from him. Sabonis, Brogdon, hooping. Number 10, I'm going to go to Chicago Bulls. They're streaking right now. They made it some trade moves. A-plus trade moves, bro. Now they're right there in the playoff race. They could beat anybody that's not in the top 3 in the Eastern Conference or any given night in a 7-game series.
Yeah, and so, Vance, my 7 through 10 is very similar to yours, except for the fact I got the Knicks at 7, Charlotte at 8, and I got at 9, I got Indiana 10, I got Chicago. Chicago just got a lot of room to Chicago just has a lot of games to make up in order to, you know, jump in the rankings. But I think they'll stay solid at 10, and I think everything else will shake out that way. But I think that's going to be a very exciting match.
They're going to win that King game. The Bulls going to win their play-in.
Especially if they play the Knicks, yeah, bro, on a bad RJ Barrett shooting night. Yeah, they got it, bro. But it's going to be a lot of interesting games in that play-in series. I agree with that.
My 7 through 10, I got it 7 in Atlanta just because, as my coach wanted to point out, I don't know how the playoff system works, and they have a really big lead right now. So even though I don't believe in them, they'll probably end up in the 7th seed. 8, I got Indiana. It may be a recency bias by the way that they look, but I'm pretty sure it's not. They got 2 guys that are off at an all-star level, Malcolm Brogdon, DeMontis Sabonis. Kerry LeVert adds a different dimension to the offense. PJ Warren even coming back at this point in the season? They don't know him, but if he's not, it doesn't even matter. So, yeah, I think that they'll definitely – with New York, I think they'll definitely take that 8-9, and I don't know who will be the one, but that'll be a tough 1-8 for them. That whoever gets that 8, that 1 season has to play, well, I think he has to be. I got New York, Julius Randle, RJ Barrett. I mean, it looks okay, but, meh. And it's 10, I got Chicago. And I'll take them over the upset, whoever ends up in that 7 seed, Miami, Atlanta, whoever it is. Because I think on the right night, Zach LaVine will be the best player on the court.
Of course, another episode of No Cap Sports, another edition of Game Balls. I'm going to get it started out. My game ball goes to Dylan Brooks, a guy who put up a 23-point quarter against Miami Heat to help lift the Grizzlies to a victory. Memphis won the game 124-112. Of course, it was the Dylan Brooks and Grizzlies revenge game against Andre Iguodala. If you remember Dylan Brooks saying, man, he said, "I can't wait till we find a way to trade him so we can play him, show him what Memphis is really about." And he did that, you know, with 28 points on his head. So for that, my game ball goes to Dylan Brooks.
Good pick, good revenge game. I'm going to give mine to Gary Trent. You know, it was a flamethrower out there versus Cleveland. 44 points, 7-9 from 3, 17-19 overall, and 107.9 effective field goal percentage. I was taught that the percentage didn't go over 100 in school, but whatever. averaging almost 20 points since he got traded from Portland. I thought he was going to be good. Didn't think he would be this good this quickly. Making fans forget about Norman Powell.
Yeah, Gary Trent looked like the weekend. All right, for my game, bro, I'm going to go with Hideki Masayama, bro. You know, y'all probably do not know who it is with y'all two. You know, right? Because Tiger not playing. But anyways, you know, get well soon, Tiger Woods. But I'm going to go with Hideki Masayama. You know, his first major win. He's actually the first Japanese golfer to win a major tournament, bro. So shout out to him.
Facts. And so with that, man, we appreciate y'all for tuning in yet again. Y'all stay safe out here, and we out of here.